Philippians has been called the epistle of joy. As we look in this book all about joy, we discover joy in Jesus. There's 104 verses in this book. It takes about 10 minutes to listen through it. So if you got an audio app, it'll take about 10 minutes for Alexander Scorby to read it to you, or whoever you have out there. I encourage you to listen to it. It's a great book all about joy. And then, of course, to read it and meditate upon it, even memorize it. It's one of the books that many people start their first book memorizing. Now, Philippians is 104 verses, and it'll make a difference in your life to memorize this book, and you'll find the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. As you hear this book and memorize and meditate upon it, you'll find three key words throughout the book. You'll find the word mind and work and joy. And when woven together, it declares this: work with the proper mind or attitude will result in joy. There is joy in serving Jesus. The word joy is used 59 times in the New Testament. And here in Philippians, we find joy or rejoicing 19 of those 59 times. You'll also find the name Jesus more in this book, as far as in a concentrated place than any other book. The name of Christ is found 50 times, because where there is Christ, there is joy. And where there is not Christ, there cannot be any joy. What is joy? Joy is the gladness of heart that comes from God alone. God can gladden your heart. God can give you joy. No matter the circumstance, the situation, you can always have the joy of the Lord. One commentator said that joy is the flag that flies on the castle of the heart when the king is in residence there. I like that. When the king is in residence there. The key verse of Philippians is found in Philippians 4 and verse 4. And here the Apostle Paul in prison is going to sum up everything by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." What does always mean? Well, it means always, all the time, in every circumstance, in every situation. If Paul in a Roman prison cell can rejoice, so can you. So can I this morning as we look at the text. Rejoice. Listen, God never gives us a command without the enablement to obey it. If God said, "Rejoice in the Lord always," we can rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians is one of four prison epistles. Here, Paul is in a Roman prison cell writing about rejoicing. Some have said this is a thank you letter. Really, it's a thank you letter to the Philippian church. The Apostle Paul has received a gift sent from the Philippian church by Epaphroditus. He's learned that the church loves him. The church has prayed for him. Chapter 1 and verse 19. The church prepared for him by sending a minister 850 miles from Philippi all the way to Rome to deliver a sacrificial love gift. They've given financially to him. Chapter 4, verse 10 and verse 14. And Paul in prison reflected upon this. He remembered the Philippians. He prayed for the Philippians. And by remembering and reflecting upon the saints of Philippi, he found joy. By praying for the saints at Philippi, he found joy. And I believe that's a lesson for us today. We're going to look at today the fellowship of the gospel. If you're trying to find the fellowship in the gospel, if you're trying to find joy, find it in the Lord. Find it in the Lord's people. Find it in the Lord's work. Find it in prayer. The psalmist in Psalm 42, it's been called the Psalm of Depression and the Psalm of Deliverance, because depression is detailed in Psalm 42, where he says, "Why art thou cast down?" The word there is depressed. He said, "Why is my soul disquieted within me?" The word is anxious. And he says, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." If you can get your mind on the Lord and the things of the Lord, if you can get your mouth on the Lord and the things of the Lord, you'll have deliverance in your life. And he does that by Psalm 42, remembering. Psalm 42, he says, "I remember when I went with the multitude." We've got a multitude here this morning. "I remember going to the house of God. I remember having a voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy day." And it was that mind on the things of God and the house of God and the people of God that brought him joy. It was the mouth that he reflected upon the praise of God with the people of God that brought him joy. Oh, I think about the times that I've had the greatest joy in my life. And it's not been at some entertainment park. It hasn't been on some vacation. It's been in the house of God when the Holy Ghost shows up and with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a reason why we call it Jubilee around here, because there's a lot of joy. And if you've ever been to one of the Jubilee services, it gets on at the tabernacle and there's joy and there's praising and there's rejoicing, and there's just something special about being with the people of God and praising God and magnifying God and worshiping the Lord. Hey, there's been times where I remember of just being in God's presence at revival services and at the camp meetings and just the amazing times of gathering with God's people. And what a thing that is. Hey, listen, this morning, gathering together as the local church is not an obligation. It's an opportunity to find some joy. It's not just about a duty, it's devotion and delight in the things of the Lord and the things that God does for you and for others around you, and the power and the anointing and the presence of God that's so manifest when God's people gather together. Why? Because he says, where two or three gather together in my name, guess what? He's in the midst. Jesus is here this morning. I can have joy because Jesus is here. I can praise him. I can be in his presence, and he inhabits the praises of his people. Hey, you need the fellowship in the gospel. You need to remember those times. You need to reflect upon those times. You need a purpose sometimes in your life to fellowship in the gospel. I love having a connect group. If you're not in a connect group, you're missing out. I was missing out. I was in my truck just praying and preparing for the services. And the Lord, through a conference, spoke to me. You need to be in a connect group or leading a connect group. And I don't like sitting in the sidelines. I like leading stuff and joining in things. So started a connect group. And I said, we don't have a space. And so we meet back there in the game room. And we just kind of watch a video. And hey, we had pickles this morning. That's a good breakfast item. Brother George brought pickles. That brought me some joy. And sausage, and I tell you what, in prayer and praying together, just something special about being around God's people. Last night, we had a chili fellowship and for a birthday, and just spent some time. And let me encourage you to this year to get in the connect group. Get some memories built in your life for the things of the Lord. Get around God's people and God's house. Get in the fellowship of the gospel. Go soul winning with somebody. Pray with somebody. Serve with somebody. Share with somebody. See what happens in your life. We see that in mind in verse number 1. Philippians 1 verse 1. That is all introduction. Verse number 1. We see the fellowship in the gospel. He says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, for the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from the God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Look back at verse number 5. The fellowship in the gospel. If you're trying to, you're going to find joy, you're going to find it. We find in Philippians in the fellowship in the gospel. I had a whole list of Tolkien references this morning on the Fellowship of the Ring, but I didn't want to nerd out on you this morning with Frodo and Sam. But let me just say this. It's something special that you're gathered around. Something. We got the Bible. We got more than a ring. We got the Bible. We've got God's Word. We've got God's promises. Exceeding precious promises. Amen. We've got God's program in the church. The church of the living God. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So we've got a plan and we've got a program. We've got a people and a purpose. There's nothing to be sad about. We've got the fellowship of the gospel. Fellowship is important. Fellowship is more than just food. It can involve food. I'm a part of one group of a Baptist fellowship, and the guy gets up every week and he calls it a belly ship. And I'm like, that's not fellowship. He says, buffet, big, ugly, fat folk eating together. And I'm like, okay. You know, he said, we're going to belly ship. And you know, fellowship is more than belly ship. Fellowship is the word koinonia. It means participation. Yeah, eating. No, sharing involves some food sometimes. It means this. You're united together on a common purpose. The word in the Bible is service. So Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's partnership. in the gospel. The word partaker is the same word for fellowship in verse number 7 that you find there earlier in the text. It's serving together, speaking together, sharing together. Our soul winning team that goes on Friday to Raleigh, we survived another Friday night. And thank y'all for praying. It's exciting. It's exciting to serve and to share, but also just to kind of travel and talk and have that fellowship in the gospel. That's why we have a Vision Sunday. That's why we have ministry fair. And we got, I think, Cracker Jacks and all that this morning as well. It's a fair, so we're building off that. Why? We want you to, you're missing out. You're missing out if you don't jump into the fellowship of the gospel. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 is referenced in the video on hospitality. It said that the church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. Romans chapter 15, verse 26 translates the word contribution. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 translates it communion. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 3 translates it distribution. Philemon, verse 6, translates it communication. So fellowship is communication, distribution, communion, contribution, fellowship, united together around a common purpose. And that's seeing people saved, serving Jesus Christ, finding joy in fellowship. Paul is saying here, it makes no difference what happens to me as long as Jesus is glorified and the gospel is given. He rejoices in his circumstances because his circumstances strengthen the fellowship of the gospel. His circumstances motivated people 850 miles away to give and be a part of service. It promoted the furtherance of the gospel. It guarded the faith of the gospel. And he says, listen, I'm going to get through this time of prison. If Paul in jail can have joy, you and I can as well. He says, listen, in verses 1 through 11, he says, I have you in my mind. He says, my mind and mouth is focused on the gospel and the fellowship of the gospel. I have you in my heart, verse 7 and 8. I have you in my prayer. Listen, when you get people in your mind and God in your mind, and that's why that I may know him. If you get the Lord and others in your mind, if you can get in your heart the Lord and others, serving others, if you can have in your prayer others, you will have joy. Who or what is in your mind? Who's in your heart? Who's in your prayer? As we walk through the text, we see some attributes. The actions are having people in your mind, having people in your heart, having people in your prayer. But some attributes. First one we see is humility. Look at verse number 1. Paul in other epistles refers to himself as an apostle. An epistle is not the wife of an apostle, by the way. But here in the text, that was a joke. All right, verse number 1. Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ. He didn't refer himself as an apostle. He refers himself as a servant. You notice something about Paul, this first word, Paul, speaks of its conversion. He was known as Saul of Tarsus. You know, Saul means something to be desired of. Everything in Saul's life, Saul the persecutor, the injurer, the blasphemer, the one that went out and tried to destroy Christianity. When he got saved, he got right, and he even got a name change. Now, we know Paul was the name to the Gentiles, and Saul was the Hebrew name, but there's something else here. Saul, the word spoke of to be desired. He was on the way up. Prominence, prestige. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, as touching the law, blameless. He was had the power and the pedigree and the pride. He says, I count all that but dung and loss that I may know Christ and win him. When he got saved, he stopped using the name Saul, but he used the name Paul. You know what Paul means? Small. He went from Saul to small. And I think in our life, we ought to do that. To serve God, to know God, to have a heart for God. Not to live the old life, but to humble ourselves before him. He found joy in the fellowship of the gospel because he said, he must increase, I must decrease. It wasn't about Paul. It was about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he names Timothy. Timothy's name means honoring God. Listen, if your life is small and honoring God, you're going to find some joy in humility and the presence of God. He speaks to this man, Timothy. He said, he's like a son. He said, we're like-minded. We've got a fellowship. We have the same mind, the same mission. Verse 20 says, there's no man naturally to care for your state. He says, chapter 2, he speaks of this one who loves and serves. No man like-minded that to serve you and stand for you. He said, he loves you like I love you. We love each other. We love the Lord. Everybody ought to have a Paul in their life, somebody they're learning from. Everybody ought to have a Barnabas in their life, somebody they're serving with. And everybody ought to have a Timothy in their life, somebody you're pouring into. Amen. That's the fellowship of the gospel. Who's your Paul? Who's your Barnabas or Silas? Who's your Timothy? No man is an island. We need one another in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I've got Timothy to serve with me, to stand with me, to seek the Lord together. Look at their commitments. They're servants. The word there is bond servants. It's the word doulos. I heard in the Air Force Academy, they call those freshmen the doulies. The servants is from that same word. You're the servants. You're the ones that are just, you're there to serve willingly and maybe not so willingly or voluntarily. But here the context refers to a choice. The Greek translation of the Old Testament, Exodus 21, this word doulos is used to speak of one who is freed from that indentureship, free from the time of bondage. And now they've got a choice. Exodus 21 says, but if he loves his master and he loves where he's at, he can willingly serve as a doulos for the remaining of his life. So the master will take the doulos, the servant, to the doorpost and with an awl or a hammer, pierce the earlobe. And that earlobe pierced would show, I love my master. It'll let everybody know that I'm not in this by constraint, but willingly because I love my master. Hey, listen today. I'm not asking you to pierce your earlobes for Lord Jesus Christ, but there ought to be something about you that people look at your life and say, there's something different about that one. He is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's joy in serving Jesus. And he says, I'm a doulos. I have pierced myself to the pierced hands and feet of my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll serve him for the rest of my life. They're submitted to him. He didn't view his service to the Lord Jesus as a duty, but devotion, not as a drudgery, but a delight, not something he had to do, but something he got to do. Hey, listen, he is there serving Jesus. Paul and Timothy in prison, serving Jesus, servants of Jesus in the presence of God. Charles Spurgeon said this, you cannot be happy unless you're doing something for God. You can never be happy until you're doing something for God. You see, humility, humility in service, humility in that commitment, humility in his character, humility there in his companion. Secondly, we see inclusivity, the fellowship of the gospel, and the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Look at verse number one continuously. To all the saints, not some of the saints. By the way, you're either a saint or you ain't. You say, well, I'm no saint. I've heard people say, well, I'm saved, but I'm no saint. Well, no, if you're saved, you're a saint. You may not be acting saintly, but you're saints. To all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. He says, I'm not just referring to the hierarchy here. I'm referring to everybody. All of you. Inclusivity of the gospel. Do you realize today we believe in the local church that the priesthood of the believers, that everybody's on equal ground with the Lord Jesus Christ? When it comes to the fellowship of the gospel, you have just as much access in prayer as I do. You have just as much authority in the Holy Ghost as I do. He has given us power and anointing and spiritual gifts, as Scripture says, dividing severally as he will. Hey, listen, today you can serve Jesus. You can have joy in Jesus because he loves you. He loves all of you. He says to all the saints, all the saints. Do you know that we need one another? Amen. I trust you've been coming on Wednesday nights or watching on the spiritual gifts. We went through the tough ones. You know, we're going with the tough ones now. We went through the serving and the speaking and the sign and everything, the situational gifts. And listen, I need you. You need me. Listen, some people, somebody's got to be the big toe. Somebody's got to be the pinky. You know, do you understand that the body of Christ, we all have our place and all, somebody's got to be, I like what I believe it was Phyllis Swindell told me once. She said, you know, I thought about this, somebody's got to be the fingernail. I don't know, flicking people, I don't know, but you know, imagine if you didn't have a fingernail. You know it, you would recognize it pretty quickly. What's your place in the body of Christ? Basil of Caesarea, an early church father, said, when we live our lives in isolation, what we have is unavailable. What we lack is unprocurable. What does that mean? When we withdraw ourselves from interaction with others, the gifts God has given for us to share with others are no longer available to them. And the gifts God has given to them for you are no longer available to you. And that's why we ought to fellowship in the gospel. He says, I make requests with joy. He says, I want to see you again. I want to serve with you again. I want to stand for you again. We can pray together. We can serve together. We can give one another. And I can have joy in a jail cell because of the fellowship in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, you all. You know, we're Southern here in the text. He's from Southern Israel. The servants, he says, to all the saints, Christ Jesus. He says, for you all, in verse 4, making requests with joy. It goes down to verse 7, you all, verse 7, you all, partakers of my grace. Verse 8, you all, nobody is to be left out. Everybody today is saints. If you're saved today, you're here. You've got a purpose, you've got a plan. God has a plan for your life. He's going to use you in the fellowship of the gospel. We serve together. We love together. We need each other. Do you realize that? Amen. We need one another. Think about this early church and their diversity and their inclusivity. We think about who was there in that early church. Question's been asked, what do these people have in common? A traveling sales lady, a former fortune teller, and a prison guard. They're all members. They're charter members of the Church of Philippi. Think about it. Here's Lydia. She's a Jewish lady selling merchants, selling purple by, she's worshiping by the riverside as Jews would do in that time. And Paul comes to her and the Lord opens her heart. This wealthy woman is saved, the first one saved. And then Paul and Barnabas begin to go and stand and speak, or Silas rather, and stand and speak for Jesus. And this demonically possessed girl, this fortune teller, begins to come after him, and she says the right things, but she's distracting God's message. And she said, these are the servants of the Most High God, and she begins to follow them, and these are the servants of the Most High God, and he says, come out of her, and that little demon possessed girl is delivered. So someone who was on the top of the social to the bottom of the social standing, and then they go to prison. You know what happens at prison? At midnight they were complaining and counting their bruises, right? No, they were praising the Lord and singing praises to God at midnight. And the Bible says that the jailhouse rocked, all right? And all of a sudden the bands were broken and they were loosed. And the Philippian jailer that's standing there, he was ready to end his life because of he knew the consequences he would face. And Paul says, don't do that. We're all here. And he says, I know you've been singing for Jesus. I know you've been praising for Jesus. I know you've been loving each other and loving the Lord. And you've been praising at midnight. He says, hey, I want in on that. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. He goes to the house, shares the gospel. They all get saved. They all get baptized. They become the first family there in that church, born again and serving the Lord. Hey, listen, I look out here today at Tabernacle Baptist Church, and there's people in all different backgrounds and all different areas and all different aspects, but God has chosen and God has put you in this place, and God has added the church daily. There's a plan and purpose for each one of you today, and God's got something for you. Amen. It doesn't matter your background. He has something for you today to serve Him and speak for Him and love Him. It reminds me of the man that was sharing his testimony, his deliverance from alcohol, and he was standing, he was saved at a Salvation Army meeting. He stood up and he started to share his testimony of deliverance, and a man started to make fun of him and saying, you're crazy, and you're dreaming. And this little girl said, hey, sir, would you come over here? She said, the man that's talking up there is my daddy. He used to spend all the money that we had on whiskey. My mother would be sad as he would come home and he would beat on her and misuse us, and the difficult time for our family. He said, we never had anything. He said, but sir, would you look at these shoes? They're new. Look at this dress. It's new. Look at my mother. She's smiling. Look at my daddy. He's happy. And he said, if he's dreaming, don't wake him up. Listen today, look at the New Testament local church and the plan and purpose of God's life to take Sauls and make us small. To take people that have all sorts of sins and situations, and we can be forgiven and cleansed and washed and justified and sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been delivered as servants and slaves of sin to be servants and slaves of righteousness by choice. And we're branded for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can have joy this morning, and no matter what is happening in my life, because I have a diversity and inclusivity, and I've got humility in the gospel. I've got a purpose. Amen. And a plan. That's what Paul's saying in the text. And then there's a dependency and an identity. Look at verse number 2. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is the Greek greeting. Charis, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. And when you get grace, you get peace. People are looking for peace, but the peace is found, not peace and grace, but grace and peace. And this identity is in the Lord Jesus Christ, from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the saints in Christ Jesus, and we're gathered together with a common identity of the gospel. And we've got that local identity. We've got that purpose in our life to serve and to share for Jesus. And he speaks of these bishops. Who are the bishops? Well, this time they didn't have a gymnasium they could remodel into a sanctuary until we can build our next sanctuary. They didn't have a gathering place all at once like the people in Jerusalem where James was the pastor of the church, because they all had a big temple and they met there in the courtyard until they were sent out and dispersed. There were overseers, leaders in the group. The word bishop means overseer, and houses. They would oversee these groups. They were servants. And I'm thankful when God people get together and they're gifted of God. Some of you are leaders. Some of you are servants. All of us are servant leaders. Some of us will organize. Some of us will agonize. I don't know. But other of us will serve and step in, will share. And God will take your ability. God will take your disability sometime. God will take your availability. And he'll use you for his honor and for his glory. And all of us are just dependent upon his grace. All of us are dependent upon his peace. And God will give that. And we'll find joy in it. He said, well, I can't do that ministry. That's the point. You can't do it. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. It's never about you. It's about him.
That's right.
He's going to speak later on to these two women that are fighting in the church. I always think of them as odious and stinky. All right. And they're fighting. And he says, listen, find fellowship in the gospel. It's hard to be upset with someone you're praying for and praying with. It's hard to be bitter with somebody you're trying to share the gospel with somebody who's dying and going to hell. It's hard to be angry when you're finding joy in the fellowship in the gospel. He said, have the same mind. The mind of Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Let's get there. And became obedient unto death. Let's get there. Even the death of the cross, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, of things in heaven and things on earth. Hey, listen, it's all about Jesus. Let's get back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's get back sharing and speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And maybe you wouldn't be so upset, and maybe you wouldn't be so stressed, and maybe you wouldn't be so depressed and angry and upset, because it's not about you anymore. It's about Jesus. It's about loving and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's security that we all share in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm praying for you. Make your requests with joy. When's the last time you prayed for somebody and prayed for them with joy? Your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He said, I love when I think about how you're serving and standing for Jesus. He says in verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He says, I believe that he which hath begun it is going to finish it. If he'll bring it to it, he'll bring it through it. I'm confident of this very thing. Hey, listen, I'm thankful today for the security that we share in the Lord Jesus Christ. What God starts, he'll finish. He says, I was there when I was by the riverside and I saw when God opened Lydia's heart. I was there when that demon-possessed woman came to me and I saw her delivered from demons. I was there when the jailhouse shook and the earthquake released the bands of prison and that hardened prisoner was saved. He says, the God that opened Lydia's heart and delivered demons and save a hardened jailer, hey, he's going to see them through. I'm confident of this very thing. Hey, listen, the work that God does for us, he'll complete in salvation. The work that God does in us, sanctification, he'll complete in heaven. The work that God does through us in service, he'll complete it. How many believe he's going to complete his work in salvation? Amen. He'll complete his work in sanctification. Amen. Hey, listen, he'll complete his work in service. As you step out and serve, he's confident in this very thing. And that confidence is what keeps us carrying through. Oh, I love what Ephesians says. In whom after you believe, in whom you trusted, the Holy Spirit of promise, we are sealed, the Bible says, unto the day of redemption. What redemption? That's the redemption when Jesus comes. That's the redemption where the Bible says when the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. The word of God says that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. God's going to keep us and carry us and carry us through and give us strength to serve, give us joy for the journey, give us faith for the gospel. That's what God's going to do for you until he comes. And when he comes, what a day that will be. It could happen right now. Think about it. The Bible says in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I've always wanted to be by a graveside and watch it in slow motion. when those graves begin to quake. Maybe you can watch the replay up in heaven. I'm going to watch. There's got to be reels in heaven. All right. And you can watch maybe David, you know, cutting off Goliath's head and holding up the Red Sea parting. I want to watch the rapture in slow motion. I'm weird like that. Those bodies just start popping up the glory in the cloud, and then we go meet the Lord in the air. There's no more sighing, no more crying, no more dying. Only rejoicing in the presence of Jesus. He'll wipe away every tear from our eye. He'll give us eternal praise and joy in the presence of Christ. We'll be made like Him. The promise of predestination. Don't be scared of that word. It's a Bible word. Predestination means He's going to make those who are saved like and with Jesus. It's a promise. I'm headed to a destination, and that's glory. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. So if I'm locked up in prison, I can praise the Lord because I'm going to glory. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to worship with the saints. I'm going to worship the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I'm going to cast my crowns. I'm going to cry, worthy is the Lamb. So why in the world are we worrying down here? We're going to be worshiping up there. The fellowship of the gospel, the earnest of our inheritance, the Holy Ghost that's given to us at salvation, that fellowship in the Spirit. You've got the Spirit in you. I've got the Spirit in me. If you're saved, we're baptized into one body. Listen, if eternity is going to be about praising God and worshiping Him and loving one another and loving the Lord and magnifying Jesus and praising Him and declaring His word, you can have a little touch of that in heaven down here. As you magnify Jesus, serve Him, love Him, love one another, praise Him, glorify Him. And that's the local church. Two or three are gathered together. His name. He's in the midst. The fellowship of the gospel. Who are you praying with? Who are you serving with? Can I challenge husband and wives? There's a reason why the devil fights marriages. Because you're meant to serve and share and stand for one another. It says, husband loves your wives. Be not bitter against them. Lest your prayers be hindered. That's why he fights relationships. He tries to separate and isolate. Because by yourself, you're an easy target for the enemy. So make a decision. If you're going to find joy in your circumstance, find it, first of all, in the fellowship and the gospel. Are you saved? If you're saved, are you serving? Are you looking forward and confident of that day that could be today, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ?